Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Saturday, November 24th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents Chuck the Iceman Liddell as he returns to the cage to take on the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz, in their third and final chapter of their historic rivalry at the Fabulous Forum, plus a fully stacked undercard of competitive MMA talent. Don't miss this night of historic rivalry, Saturday, November 24th at the Forum. Tickets start at $30 and are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000.
Welcome to the Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. A tremendous show for you today. I had to run back. I was about an hour and a half out of town, and I was like, made it just in time for the show. But I always look forward to my shows with Marianne Renault because she's a tremendous athlete, you know, and she's changing the game. She's putting up different aspects out there, you know, and age is no longer a number. I mean, with that being said, let's bring the one and only Marianne Renault to the show. Marianne, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Coming off a broken foot, and then I actually injured my, because I wear a prosthetic on my other leg, I actually injured that. I've been in bed for 5 weeks, and these doctors haven't given me any answers, so I said, middle fingers up, and I kind of went about my business, and I went and I shot a professor in a seminar today, and I'm hurting. I got to tell you, I'm feeling my age. So when you look at it in that retrospect, how hard is it for you, Marianne? I mean, you started fighting, what was it, in about 2010. So you've been fighting in the big promotion since 2010. How has age been an aspect in your life, or has it?
No, it really hasn't been an aspect. It hasn't slowed me down. I think it's matured me. I think a little bit more about things. I am a lot smarter, so I don't think that it hindered me in any way, not as of yet. When it does, I'll know when to call it quits, but not now. But as far as maturity, I think that has definitely helped me with maturity.
Yeah. Well, you know, you won several fights, and then you attempted to try out for the Ultimate Fighter 18. You were told no originally by the UFC that you were too old. How did that make you feel, Marianne? I mean, what reflection did you have on that moment?
Well, it was funny to me because the women who were trying it out, I just remember at that time, a few of them, and I'm not going to name who, they were completely out of shape. And they had actually made it all on the Ultimate Fight. And I was just like, I know I could beat those girls. of course, you know, I've never fought them, but at first I thought it was funny. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm 36. I'm not even that old. But they wanted and were looking for something a little bit different. So it was kind of heartbreaking at first. And when I got back, I thought to myself, you know, maybe this isn't the right path for me. Maybe I should, you know, focus more on jiu-jitsu tournaments and maybe just focus more on my son. But that wasn't meant for me. It wasn't meant for me.
You know, you go and you fight Maureen Reardon in July of 2014 at RFA. You know, then the UFC says, oh, crap, we need to sign this lady. We need to have her on our promotion. And, you know, to me, I think you were deserving all along because I've been a fan of yours for quite some time. You know, but one of the main reasons why I wanted you on this show today, I'm not going to sit here and talk about the UFC all day because every show does that. But there's two sides to you. Well, there's actually more than that, but there's two sides that I want to talk about today. You know, we already know you're a warrior in the octagon, and you're also a BJJ practitioner. What part of the continuum allowed Marianne Renault to grow in both aspects?
Mm, it's just my genetic makeup. It was what I was meant to do. And in all honesty, you know, I grew up wanting to be a professional athlete and thought a part of me would be a professional athlete as a track and field athlete because that's what I had did for so long. I did it for 16 years. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be a track and field athlete. I'm going to be professional. I'm going to go to the Olympics. And that did not work. And there was a part of me that always wanted to be a professional athlete because I knew I could. I just didn't know what I could be good at until I entered into the sport, until I threw myself into it, until I lived, eat, and breathe exactly this sport. And that's with anything that I'm very passionate about. I throw myself into it 100% until it is time for me to say goodbye. And even then, it's not time for me to say goodbye because I've opened up my own business.
Yeah, that's kind of another aspect that I wanted to lead. You opened up your own gym. You are setting a precedence for yourself. You're establishing your foundation and adding to your legacy that you've already created. What does it mean for you and the aspects around you to be able to do such a tremendous thing, not just for practitioners, but for the youth and all that want to get involved in that aspect of your life, Maureen?
I have to make it happen. I have to be able to do this. You know, I put a lot of time, I put a lot of money, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears went into this. So it's one of those things that, okay, I'm at a point where, you know what, this has to work out for me, you know. And there are people who count on that. There are people who I train and I love it. They motivate me. Their enthusiasm, they inspire me, and they don't see that. So that's kind of what motivates me to keep going. That kind of motivates me and inspires me to keep moving because there's outside people who are looking at me to help them out, and I want to be that person.
Yeah. You know, I've been interviewing you for years now, and you would think I would run out of questions, but I don't because there's so many. Well, there's so many facets to you, Maureen. I mean, hell, you even changed the demographic on my show. That's so cool. But the thing, when you sit back and you get a reflection of each and every aspect that you've done in this sport and in life, what would you say would be your greatest takeaway to date?
The people that I've gotten a chance to either train with or to meet. I think I've met, thousands and thousands of different people. I've gotten to train with hundreds of different athletes and, you know, get to speak to coaches and pick their minds and their brains. I love that aspect. I love meeting new people. I think there's a small world that we live in. So if I can speak to as many people as I can possibly can, that'd be better for me.
You know, Maureen, I'm going to jump out of the sport for a minute and look at a different aspect. Early in your life, you chose to be a teacher. You chose to take a path that doesn't pay well, but, well, it does. I'll take that back. It makes you rich in heart, but not rich in pocket. What aspect or who was it that instilled the intent in you, Maureen, to take that path as a teacher?
Well, if we're speaking honestly, that wasn't my path in life, was not to be a teacher. A long time ago, when I was a little girl, my mom told me I would be a teacher one day, and I said, oh, hell no, I'll never be a teacher. I will never want to get up in front of people and talk. And a few years later, I went to college to work with athletes. I wanted to be I worked in sports medicine. I wanted to be an athletic trainer. I wanted to deal with athletic injuries. And that's what I went to college for. Well, I get out of college, and I have this child, and knowing that I cannot travel with teens, because in order to be an athletic trainer, you need to travel with teens. And that's what I wanted to do, 50, 60 hours out of the week. I was willing to dedicate it, but not when I had a child. So my path changed after having my son. And I went into a counselor, school counselor college, and I talked to her, and she looked at my transcript and said, well, you have a lot of credits in kinesiology. And I said, I do. She's like, have you ever thought about being a PE teacher? And I was like, oh, heck no. She's like, well, there's an opening in Farmersville. And I was like, I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to teach. And that's the God honest truth. I was very shy. So on a whim, I went home, and I said, you know what? Let me just try. So I filled out a couple applications. One was to be an intern for a physical therapy clinic, because that was my second option. And then on a whim, I filled out this application to be a teacher in Farmersville. Didn't think nothing of it. I swear, about 3 weeks later, totally forgot about that application. I get a phone call. Hey, we want to interview you for the job of PE teacher here in Farmersville. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Really? Me? And so I was just happy to get a call back. I remember that morning my mom came over to babysit my son, and I drank about a pot of coffee, which is not the smartest thing to do right before an interview, is drink a pot of coffee. I was literally buzzing with caffeine. I walked into the interview, and I am just on one, not knowing if I'm making a good impression, I'm talking a mile a minute, I'm excited. They loved that. They loved everything about that and said that I was perfect for them. Now, the first year, I'd say 2 years, were the hardest years, and a lot of teachers will say the same thing, but it took a while for me to find who I was and what kind of teacher I wanted to be. And then it just came natural. And then it just made sense. And then I just threw myself into it. And I loved everything about it. And I'm like, I couldn't see myself doing pretty much anything else but being a PE teacher.
And it's just tremendous, because it would later go on to initially define who you are really in life. And I mean, you love your students, you love the practitioner's aspect of the students. You just,
I think it's a love hate relationship between us all. they have their moments, I have my moments. Trust me, it's not all love. I think we're dealing with, I say it every year, we deal with the different types of generations. I'm lucky to work at a facility that I work at. The community is small and they're very embedded. But, you know, when you see, you know, students in other districts and counties, you know, walking up to teachers, testing them out, which I had an incident last Friday where a student was trying to test me out, I was like, who in their right mind does that to, first off, an adult, second of all, a teacher? I don't understand it. I don't get it. So I do think that teaching has their moments, but I do think that we've given our students too many rights, and they're not getting in trouble for it because the administration is too afraid. And that's me speaking honestly, and I know every other teacher would agree with that. We have great students in Farmersville, but there are those ones that, hey, you know what, if you're going to keep disrespecting the teacher, we need to get rid of you. This free education is free, but it is not free for our taxpayers who have to pay for you to be in school. You can go home and be homeschooled by your mom or your dad instead of getting a free education, where in other countries, they're not given free education. That's just my two bit on it. I hate seeing teachers being disrespected online. I hate it. It is ultimately the worst thing ever, and I say it all the time. If my son were even to do it, even if the teacher was in the wrong, if you sit there and cuss out a teacher, you better believe when you get home you won't be sitting down for a week.
I love it, because my son's 33, and I'm sorry to say it, and I don't usually cuss on my show, but I whooped that ass.
Exactly.
I mean, I did. You know, well, I grew up in the time that if your mother gave you a look, you already knew. I mean, and you just didn't go that avenue. But you see, that's kind of, it kind of leads me to another question. Last night, Donald Cerrone surpassed all kinds of people last night. He got the most submission wins in UFC history, the most continuous wins in UFC history. He broke two records last night, but He said something that was truly relevant with me, you know, and he said he is lost until he had his child. Would you say that Marion Renault having her child gave her the path that she truly understood and built from there?
Yep, 100%. That's why I kind of chuckled to myself when I heard him say that, because nobody knows that feeling until they actually have to sacrifice everything to provide for their child. No, but you cannot empathize in one way, shape, or form unless you have to sacrifice everything to provide for your child. And that was my life and still my life. But in the very beginning, when he was younger, it was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I remember after I had him, I weighed 210 pounds and I struggled. I was huge. I was large. I couldn't afford to live where I was living, and I had to starve. I had to starve myself to make sure my son could eat every day. And I went down all the way to 114 pounds was the lowest that I weighed, 114. And I think it was my mom came to visit me when I was living down south, and she saw the bones in my back and the bones in my chest and my shoulders, and she said, "That's it, you're moving back home." And she made me pack up that day that I went home, and I got back on track. But it was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, and I did it alone. God bless his father. His father loves him dearly, but he was unable to help out financially the way we needed it, and so I had to be the sole provider for my son.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think that's what's made you stronger, and that created an even greater bond, because I think your son realizes that, you know, to my listeners, me and Maureen are friends on social media, and we talk in life sometimes. That's one thing I love about my show. You know, I had Kung Lee on, and he loved the interview. He thought it was the greatest interview he's ever had his whole career. And he called me one day and he says, "I want to come back on the show." And I said, "You do?" He said, "Yeah." He goes, "But you better bring it." And I was like, "What do you mean I better bring it?" He goes, "Well, since you gave me the best interview of my career, I want to see how you're going to top it." He says, "I'm going to tell you this." And Kung is very stern when he speaks. So I'm intimidated. I'm not going to lie. You know, he tells me, he says, "Well, you took me from the fall of Saigon all the way to being bullied to being a champ in the UFC." He goes, "So you better bring the fire on this next show or I'll never do another show with you." And I was scared to death, Marian. I was, I'm not going to lie, I was scared. I didn't, you know, I had interviewed my first guest and I knew it was time for Kung Lee. And I was like, "Oh, man, I don't know where to go." I mean, I pretty much, you know, asked him everything that I knew about him, you know, personally. And then something came to me, and it came to me now. And I want to ask you this question, because I know you're a warrior that doesn't brag about your accolades. I know you're a warrior that doesn't really look backwards. You're always looking forward. But I asked him this question, and I'm going to pose it to you. What does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Marion Renault, not just the warrior, but the woman?
To me, it's a way of life. It's a way of living. It's a way of making sure that your name perseveres on and on. I was given the last name Renault by my dad, and that means something to me. And we get lost, or we have as a society gotten lost in bringing honor to our last name. And but for me, that is everything. That is everything to me, is bringing honor and having pride in the last name that was given to me, and to carry it and for it to live on. That's a big deal to me. So I think, in all honesty, it's everything. It's a way of life. It's the way people should be thinking.
You know, I love your answer, because, you know, people say you can ask that question, you're going to get the same answer every time, and it's not true. You know, when I asked Kung that, he said it's martial law. It's what a true martial artist is. When you look at it in that aspect, do you feel that also plays, you know, plays relevance in your life and where you're at now, Maureen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel that martial arts has made me more disciplined, has focused me a lot more, just not only inside in training, but outside in everyday life. So I do think I can relate to exactly what you said, yes.
You know, it's crazy because on the way back from Web City, you know, I shot BJJ today. I was sitting there and I was thinking about the questions that I can ask you because I don't always like to talk about current events. My show is more just to share you with my listeners. But there was something that kind of caught me because I did a show the other night with four tremendous women of the mat. And, you know, Felicia, Natalie Ribeiro, Gabby Romero, and Brittany Elkin. What is it about Marion Renault that maintains the passion for the mat but is able to turn herself into the warrior that needs to walk into the octagon? Because they're, I mean, people could say, oh, it's mixed martial arts, but they're, in all actuality, they're two separate aspects, two different genres. How do you define yourself in both?
Well, I mean, that's the first part of being a martial artist. You have to learn how to separate what goes on inside a competition from everyday life. And if you're not able to do that, then you're going to probably end up in jail. So, you know, I need to maintain professionalism. I have little girls looking up to me, little boys. I have parents who want a positive role model for their children. I want to be a positive role model for my son. So, you know, when I walk around in public, that's who I have to present. I have to present that positive. That's our job. So when I'm in the cage, totally different thing. There's a switch that flips on, and I am not the same person. It is not about being nice. It is about this animalistic war that you're going into, one person against another, the cage locked from the outside. It's a completely different scenario, and you have to learn how to separate those two.
Now, Maureen, you're a black belt in jiu-jitsu, you know, and that's a tremendous feat. And I got to ask you this question because, you know, Tom DeBlas, when he was on my show, we talked about this. He said, yes, I may be a black belt, but I'm a white belt at heart. I'm truly learning and gaining knowledge every day. Do you look at that aspect in the same complexity?
I say it all the time to my students. I say it all the time to my jiu-jitsu practitioners. I say, listen, I might be a black belt. However, I am forever learning. I have not learned everything, but I am going to learn as a black belt. There's no way. I am always learning. I can learn from anybody, any belt at any time. So I 100% agree with that statement. I say something similar pretty much on a daily basis at the end of every single class.
No, I'm gonna be an elephant in the room because, you know, for the first time in the history of my show, and that's 15 years, I had a black belt tell me that when they had a child and they left the aspects of the jiu-jitsu world and the artistry, that when they came back, they turned it in and they wanted to be a white belt again, and that is Natalie Ribeiro. And it kind of stymied me, you know, and I asked her, I said, why in the world would you give back your ranking and become a white belt and start all over again? And she said that she felt because she left the aspect of and the artistry of jiu-jitsu that it isn't fair for her to come right back in with the same ranking. Would you agree with that?
I agree to an extent. I understand, you know, when life happens and you have to take multiple years off, you know, some people more than others, you know, and you've earned your time and that you've earned your black belt. I wouldn't say I would agree that you went back to a white belt status, maybe blue or purple you know, just until she gets her timing back on. But she earned, I feel like you earned your black belt. You spent time on the mat. So when you come back, maybe you're not at that level again, but you're definitely not a white belt. But I mean, if that's her preference. And, you know, if I was in the same predicament and I had to take many years off, I wouldn't want to come back as a black belt. I want to come back as a blue or a purple belt, but not a white belt, because the white belt pretty much is, you know, you're starting from basics. If you're not, you've had those years. It's like riding a bike. Once you get started going again, it starts clicking. It starts clicking. So, I mean, to each their own. And, you know, she made the right decision that was right for her. She felt like it was right for her. I agree to an extent. I don't know if I would go back to a white belt, though.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy for me. You know, I'm going to ask you a question that is just totally off the cuff, because I like to get people's thoughts. When you walk into that gym in the morning and it's just Marion Renault and the mat, what reflection do you see, Marion, in yourself?
I see someone who has desires and goals to be a champion, who has had to fight tooth and nail to do and train with who she needs to train with in order to get there. I just see somebody who is just determined 100% to not let anything stand in her way, not anymore.
Well, you definitely are a game changer. You're the first woman in the history of combat to come into the sport and beat women, you know, half your age, and do it on a consistent basis. You know, there was a little article that I read the other day about you, and I kind of want to get your thoughts on it. You know, after you were initially snubbed, you know, after Tough 18, Dana White did something that he usually doesn't do. He came out publicly and praised you. What did that moment mean for the career of Marion Renault?
I didn't really think about it at the time. Everybody was like, oh my God, he actually apologized. And I'm like, well, he should, you know? But as a person, as a man who, you know, and he probably isn't the only one who had a hand in saying no. I'm pretty sure there was other people, you know, involved as well. But as a man, he came out and he apologized. And I didn't think nothing of it at that time. I was shocked. I was surprised, but I welcomed it. And I gained a lot more respect for him because of it.
Oh yeah, you would have to, because it's something that doesn't come out of his mouth very often, you know. And I think it showed the sport that he can be real. I mean, and this was just 3 short years ago. You know, what did that aspect instill in the confidence of Marion Renault, or did it affect it in any aspect at all?
Oh no, it didn't put any type of confidence. I had the confidence that I needed myself. I don't need somebody to say or apologize to me in order to give me confidence. That's not that. That's not how it works for myself. If I don't believe in myself first, why would I need somebody else to believe in me to believe in myself first? So it's kind of catch-22. I'm not going to rely on somebody else's opinions in order to feel some form of confidence.
I like that. You know, here we are in 2018. You've shocked the sport. You've changed the sport. We're not going to talk about your upcoming fight because we can't, and I don't roll like that anyway. I'm not going to do something that could put anybody in trouble. But what will 2019 mean for Marion Renault, the Warrior?
Well, it's going to be an eye-opener for everybody. It's going to be an eye-opener for myself, because I feel freedom. I feel like it's time for me to grow and to show my growth. So I feel like 2019 is about growth and obviously continually changing the game.
I like that. So would be a fair assumption to say that Marion Renault is now on the second chapter of her life in the creation of her legacy?
Second chapter? I don't know. I think you missed a couple of chapters. I think I'm on chapter like 79 right now. I'm giving chapters to my life.
I was trying to be nice.
I have no idea what chapter you're on, but it is somewhere in the double digits.
Oh, I feel you there. I mean, dang, Marianne, I'm 53 years old, and you know, I look back and I got 23 years in this industry, and yesterday was the 25th anniversary of the UFC, and to sit back and have a conversation with Art Davey and realize where the sport has gone, you know, I paid respect to Art, because truly, if it wasn't for Art Davey, you wouldn't be on the phone with me right now. I wouldn't have spent 23 years in this business. When you look at people that are visionaries in life, like Art Davey, how do you feel that they've contributed to the growth of you? I mean, because, like I said, if it wasn't for Art Davey, we wouldn't be on this radio show right now. I wouldn't be shooting fights like I do. I wouldn't have taken this angle. I would have stayed an engineer. So when you look back at people like Art Davey, what type of thought comes to your mind in respect of the creation and the vision of that man?
Well, it's like with anything that one's created, it had to start somewhere. He had a vision, and his vision grew, and look where it's left 25 years later. So it's people like that have visions and continue on with the vision that makes things happen for everybody else who didn't know that their vision was that. So I think it's like a trickling effect. And I think it was something that was set in his future. His dots needed to connect, so everybody else's dots connect as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, it's like when I talked with him yesterday, it was like, it's hard to believe it's been 25 years. I mean, you look at how long you've been in the sport. I mean, it goes quick. You know, when you look at all the trials, the tribulations, all the different aspects that are added with this sport into everyday life, how much more intent did it instill into you to prove to the world that you weren't going to go anywhere?
I had to do it from, when you think about it, there's a reason why I did it. It was to set my son up for his future. And it was important to me to fulfill that as a parent, as a mother. So you tend to want to work harder no matter what. And so it wasn't like, I got to prove to everybody I'm not going anywhere. It was more like, I have to do this so that my son can have a future, so I can have a future. And that was more my thinking than anything else.
I love it because, you know, we always joke around, you know, and say that, you know, the 30 is the new 20, 40 is the new, you know, whatever. And yet you go out time and time again and you show the world that age isn't even a variable. It's about heart. You know, when you look at your parents, you know, and the life that you had, where did that intent, where did that veracity and integrity, you know, how was it built and formulated into becoming one of the greatest fighters in the world?
I don't think it happened overnight. I just think it happened with a lot of letdowns, a lot of hitting rock bottom. I think, you know, it was just the perseverance and dedication that I had, the people that I surrounded myself with, that grit came from. It did not happen overnight. It's not that simple. It was years and years, and it's still years and years in the making. I still have things I have to work out for myself. There's still always something else to do to prove, not only to my haters, but to myself. So I think it's just you know, years of being, you know, on the bottom, years of having ups and downs, years of going through trials and tribulations that has brought me to the point where I just got to persevere. Trust me, I mean, it's not roses and flowers, it's that field of wildflowers, how beautiful. No, it doesn't work out that way. You know, there's always bumps in the road, but it's people who can overcome those is going to be successful. Those are the people that you want to surround yourself with.
I like that. You haven't been going to any more yard sales or buying any more truckloads of anything, have you?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. He lets you bring it in the house now, huh?
Well, I sneak it into the gym now. So a couple of the stuff that we have, I've been able to bring into the gym. He's like, as long as it's not in the house.
I had to throw that in there. How happy was it, you know, of an occasion was it for you to see, you know, an aspect that you helped train, get her second win in the UFC and kind of get her start? I would like to say, with some of your tutelage, and that being an Aspen lad, how did that make you feel to see her succeed?
Man, Aspen has done that herself. She has grown into a beast. I love that woman. I am so darn proud of her. I'm so excited to see what her future leads her. She's so young and has so much to give, and she has a smart team. Team around her, and I'm lucky to have them as a part of my camp as well. So I only see success in her future.
Yeah, you know, Maureen, sometimes in life we don't often get opportunities on social media because they want to, you know, people want to hate or say things, and then you get an opportunity to go on a show and they want to ask you the five same stereotypical questions. What did you do wrong at your last camp? What are you going to do in your next camp? And that all gets really, really old. And in between there, we lose a grasp of reality, a fact of life, that we wouldn't be here if there wasn't people that stood behind, you know, beside us. Not in front of us, not behind us, but beside us. You know, if you had to make a statement of thanks to those who stood beside you, those who gave you the intent that you needed when you did, gave you that little nudge when you were down, what would that statement be?
Pretty much you can't stop me. I'm a Renault. That's all you need to know. It's a Renault thing. You can't stop us.
Yeah. I like that. You know, you've been coming on my show for a few years now, and every time you go out there, you surprise me. Every time that you add a new aspect to your life, you continue to grow. What does the future mean for this new gym opening? And are you gonna allow your son? I guess what I'm getting at, are you gonna allow your son to follow in your footsteps?
He can do and be whatever it is that he wants to be. I doubt he wants to follow in my footsteps because the whole one-on-one is not type of competition is not his thing. He likes team competitions. He did train when he was younger, and I'm proud that he got a chance to train because I know he can defend himself. I know he knows how to throw a punch, a kick. I know he knows how to defend himself on the ground. He was a three-stripe yellow belt. So I don't worry about him. This is my dream. This was my passion. This was my goal. If my son wants to pursue it, so be it. But if he wants to pursue something else, I'm going to be there to support him, so he does not have to follow in his mother's footsteps.
I love that. But you know what? It also kind of segues me into my next question. What have your dreams truly meant to you, Maureen?
I don't know.
I'm sorry I went Barbara Walters on you.
Have my dreams meant to me?
You said you want your son to live his dreams. You know, you've been able to live your dreams. How, you know, so how, what does that mean to you, and how How have you taken from it?
I say my dreams have been some good dreams and some nightmares. But I think I've been able to enjoy the ride, enjoy the journey. I've been able to take in everything I need, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and make it into something that I need to. And I hope he sees that too. That it's not going to always be roses. You're going to get injuries. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to hit rock bottom. But, you know, you got to think of rock bottom as the foundation to your growth. You know, there's too many people down at the bottom for you to stay there. So use that as your foundation to start growing.
I like it. See, you even give me wisdom every time you're on the show. I dig that. I'm learning from you, and I'm older than you. So it goes to show that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Oh, you're tremendous, Maureen. And what you do in the sport and what you do out of the sport, it's truly defined you into a tremendous person in life. And each and every time I'm honored to have you on the show. I got one more question for you, and then I'll kind of let you do a little whatever, and then I'll let you get about your day. You know, the thing in life, we look at different aspects, and we get an understanding of who we are, but letting other people know who we are is hard for us sometimes. But if Maureen Renaud had to make a statement, and this is all hypothetical, you know, how would you like to be remembered when it's all said and done?
I think the purpose of what I'm doing is to matter. So if I had to say, you know, how would I want to be remembered, it would be, how did I matter? How did I make you feel? How did what I do affect you? And how is that going to encourage or inspire you in your future? I think I would want to be remembered as somebody that really made a difference.
I like that. You truly have made a difference. And, you know, you're going to forever be remembered for what you've done in and out of the cage. And I think that's tremendous. That's why I love having you on the show. And, you know, you can see your parents are proud of you. Anybody that knows you is proud of you. You know, that's a tremendous feeling because, you know, life is full of millennials and entitled individuals nowadays. And, you know, it's disheartening sometimes. But to see people praise you the way they do, it's truly tremendous. What does it mean? And I'm sorry, this will be the last question. What does it mean for you to have that tremendous fan base? What does it mean for you to have people reach out and get inspired by what you've done in life?
I think it's special. I think it's surreal to me. I didn't think it would ever or could ever have happened. And so now that it has, you know, it's not even on the grand scale that it could be, but it's still something I feel very special, and I don't want to let them down in any way, shape, or form ever. That's why I try to reach back and communicate with them. You know, I am a real person. You know, I try to communicate with as many as I possibly can, as long as they're respectful. But I think it's surreal at times. You know, when you have someone come up and like, hey, can I have your autograph? And you're like, me? Okay, sure. You know? But I don't take it for granted, that's for sure.
Well, you truly have, you know, created a legacy, a platform for other women, you know, to join this sport and to join jiu-jitsu and love the artistry of that. You know, Maureen, it's an honor for me to have you on the show each and every time. I know my show is way different than everybody else's, but I think that's what has the fighters coming back more and more because you get a chance to share who you are. And I like to thank you for coming on my show and sharing who you are with my listeners. You know, the show is
great.
Oh, it's, I'll have you 7 days a week. We could talk for hours.
If I wasn't so busy.
I know, you're always busy, and that's a good thing nowadays. But I'm going to hand the mic to you. If you have any sponsors, any friends or family, any social media sites, or just anything else that you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
A couple of people come to mind first. Pittsburgh Brands, they've been sponsoring me since the beginning. I guess since I was a blue belt, I've been sponsored by them, so I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank the Instagrammer MMA Ghost. He does things behind the scenes that nobody knows. He recently gave an X amount of money to sponsor a child in my gym so that she could train because, you know, the parents weren't able to afford it. And being able to buy her a gym, I thought that was pretty special of him to do something like that. So I want to thank him. I want to thank my coaches and the people that I train with and everybody that I get to work with. It's always been a pleasure, and you guys keep me motivated. You keep me going over at Trifecta MMA, to Jim and Aspen and Coach Doug and even Dave Sexton. I love them to death, and I appreciate them, and I'm so happy they are a part of my journey. Can't wait to train with Aspen in December.
Yeah. I'm so happy you finally got your own place and are able to do your own thing. Marianne, one more thing before I let you go. If you can inbox me or text me that child's name that was sponsored, I'd like to see what I can do, as I'm friends with the owner of Fuji. I'd like to see what more we can do for that, because I think that aspect of life has lost value in people giving back. You know, as I said earlier, I wouldn't be in this sport if I wanted to be rich. This sport has truly made me rich in heart, but not rich in pocket.
Mm-hmm.
But to see a child's dreams come true is the greatest gift of all. So if you can, you know, get that information to me so I could pass it on to JW, the owner of Fuji, we'll see what more we can do in that aspect with my sponsors and my friends, because I like contributing to the future as well.
Exactly, and that's what we need to do more of. If we are able to, we should be able to do more of it, you know. So that, it's been my pleasure to work with her, and it was truly an honor for him to do that for her. So I was flabbergasted. I was like, all right, I have a special somebody who wants to take part in it, and so we made it happen.
Yes. You know, Marianne, you truly are a champion among champions, a warrior among, you know, warriors. I'm truly honored that you joined the show today. I can't wait until we can talk about your fight, and I'll have you back on, and we'll talk about fights. I just love shooting the crap with you anyway. I mean, you truly are a tremendous friend. You know, Marianne, thank you so much for joining the show today. I wish you the best of luck in your fight. You truly deserve the best in life, and you've made a difference. You truly have, and for that, I thank you.
Well, thank
God bless you, my friend.
You have a blessed Sunday.
You too, my friend. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Thank you, and God bless you. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Marianne Renault, tremendous, tremendous lady. We couldn't talk about her fight. If you go to Tapology, it's out there. If you go anywhere and look, it's out there. But the UFC hasn't given her the opportunity to disclose that. And as a journalist, I do what my guests ask. And you can go look at Wikipedia, Tapology, or SureDog, or anything, the UFC, whatever. You can see it. It's there. But I will not divulge it on my show because I do not want Marianne to get in trouble. You know, she's a tremendous, tremendous lady in her walk. And I'm honored in life to be able to share these types of fighters with you. With that being said, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. I want to thank the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie, an organization that truly gives back to those that are 86th in life. I want to thank Jacobs Tishran and Juan Ramirez with Cutman for Hire, the best for the best. And last but not least, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Jill Rice. Four great sponsors. And to top it off, I'm backed by the United Way Merced. I couldn't be more blessed in life. With that being said, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to the show this afternoon. I'm a little bit tired. I've been shooting all day, but the show must go on. With that being said, have a good night, and God bless.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout-out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.